another fine edition of what I'm titling, still calling, my so-called 8-bit life. And hopefully by this time it's on iTunes. I'm hoping at least that they approved it by this point when I publish this episode. Just as a production note, I'm switching. I said last episode. I'll maybe first introduce my guest here. This is my friend, actually, one of my late friends from Laredo, to be honest. I met him randomly at a party, and I'll go in that story. This is my only friend that I think when it came to Laredo that actually knew what the hell Tech TV was all about, and a couple other things on the programming side. Not my only programming friend. Anyways, this is Vito Ruiz. Say hi, Vito.
Hi, everyone.
Now, as we say, as a quick production note, I kind of made a note in my last episode saying, you know, tune in next week, you know, not knowing that I would probably end up converting this to a biweekly or whenever the heck I could get guests together and things like that. So as a production note, this is going to be a biweekly podcast now. It's not because the content, just I make sure I get, you know, enough people and everything else. Well, let's see. I mean, I guess I'll tell you how I met this guy Vito over here, and I'm looking at. So I was at a friend's party. I think it was, what, 2003, 2004, maybe?
Well, this, more or less, yeah.
Maybe 2005. It doesn't matter. I can't remember if I was still in college or if I think I might have graduated college, so it'd have to be after 2005. It'd have to be, at least. I'm just kind of guessing and shooting the wind. And somehow randomly, I'm at this friend's party for Carlos. I think it was a Christmas party, right?
This is Christmas party.
Yeah, it was a Christmas party. And basically, somehow, I know you were kind of shy. Like, why was that? Like, I know you're really pretty much keeping yourself at the party.
I'm a shy guy. You know, it's just my nature. It's funny because some people say I'm extremely shy. Some people say I'm extremely outgoing with the shy people. Strongly outweighing the outgoing people. I don't know why that is. I guess I'm more of an observer than a.
Well, because I know that everyone was chit chatting that party, and yeah. I think my friend Carlos, who was friend's party it was, introduced me and said, "Hey, this is my friend Vito," and I was like, "Oh, okay." But you kept quiet for some reason. Like, you kind of sat there at the table, sort of chit chatted with Carlos, and sort of was there. And I think I was chatting with Diane at the time. And somehow I sat down with Carlos and started chatting with I think the guy's name was Jacob.
Jacob,
something like that. And somehow randomly, I don't even know how it actually came up, but I mentioned Tech TV and your eyes lit up.
Like, Tech TV? Well, another person knows
well,
what
no,
that
no.
Is?
It's the fact of the matter that you were like if like for a while you're the more so character, you're like the silent Bob of the entire party. And then out of nowhere, the minute you hit Tech TV, you're like, oh my god, Tech TV, I'm a chatty Cathy now, out of nowhere. Why is that? Like, why Tech TV of all things it triggered you?
Why Tech TV? I guess why Tech TV? I guess it's because something I can relate to, and it's something that not a lot of people can relate to, you know, like I tell most people Tech TV, oh, Tech TV, what's that about? And then, I'm a minute later, I'm going off on it, and their eyes glaze over, you know, they don't give a hoot. Like,
well, I mean, the same thing happened. The funny thing is, and this is interesting, like back in, I mean, when Tech TV came out, like when I first started watching it, literally it was still called ZDTV. It was well before I think it was Vulcan Ventures that owned it. I think it was, I remember Leo mentioned this at one point. It was owned by, I forgot what Steve it was. It wasn't Steve Wozniak, wasn't Steve Jobs. It was the Microsoft Steve. And that wasn't Ballmer. So because there are four Steves in Silicon Valley. There's Steve Ballmer, Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs. And Steve Allen, there we go. Steve Allen had invested in Tech TV. Apparently, this guy just threw money randomly. Apparently, that was one thing I remember hearing Leo talk about, was that apparently Steve Allen like owned a yacht or some crazy shit like that. Anyway, so yeah, we should be. So, anyways, I remember that he invested in Tech TV, and somehow happened. That's when it kind of became the Tech TV it is now. But when it first started, it was actually part of Ziff Davis, ZDTV. And I remember I somehow randomly came upon it. Actually, it was at my I was in Texas when I first watched it. It was at my aunt's place. She had DirecTV because she couldn't get cable mainly. You know, and if you've ever been to like the Valley?
The Valley, no.
Okay, well, if you get like you've been to a ranch, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
The further you get out of the ranch land, the less access you have to cable and things like that. And so she had DirecTV, and when she, for some reason, I was flipping the channels, and out comes this channel named ZDTV. And I knew what ZD was because I'd ripped PC Mag. I read a lot of stuff prior, so I knew about Ziff Davis. And so I knew exactly what it was. I'm like, man, this is a weird channel. It was a demo channel. It was like coming soon. And it was talking about the programs that were on it. I think at that time, even Leo was on there with, I think, Kate Patello then. And I remember watching it for like a bit. I'm like, God, this is awesome. Then I go back home and I never saw it again. And every time I'd come back to Texas, I'd kind of get a chance to flip to it. But my cousins would always change the channel and want to watch MTV and things like that. How did you first start like watching TV? Like, what's your story?
You know, I've had a big wide grin on my face as you've been saying that, because it was almost exactly the same thing.
Really?
Except a little bit later, ZDTV is lost on me. You know, I came in during you know, actual tech TV. So one fine day, I'll never forget, I was in the 10th grade. Yes, I think it was the 10th grade. And, I came back from chemistry class, right? And I was doing my chemistry homework, boring as all hell. You know, I hated my chemistry homework. And I would do it in front of the TV, which was a blessing and a curse. You know, it helped me get through my chemistry homework. It also helped me get through my chemistry homework in twice the time.
Why? Because you started just distracted.
So, you know, we had just gotten digital cable, you know, so I was like, well, we got like hundreds of channels now. Let's see what's on there. boring, 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 boring. What the hell is this?
Tech TV.
Tech TV? I read it like five times. Like, tech TV. Tech TV? That doesn't even make sense. But I must stay here and see what this nonsense is all about. I think it was...
yeah, what's the first program you saw? I'm kind of curious now.
That first program was... it was...
It was Unscrew with Martin Sargent, wasn't it? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I know. That came later in the series.
I want to say that it was Tech Live, but it was Tech Live before... I don't think Tech Live existed yet. It was some type of a news.
Oh, okay. Tech Live was a new, like the later news thing. When they thought, you know, maybe we should convert this to a news network, which I never thought it was a good. I'll be honest, I thought that was a terrible idea, but yeah, I won't go into that. I guess it was, cause I can't remember what the tech news program was.
I didn't know if it had a name.
It did have a name. They always had names. I mean, there were so many programs on Tech TV when it came out. I mean, don't worry. We'll get into talking about screensavers soon enough. But I got to ask you. So your first program was essentially the news.
Whatever the news thing is, you know, and I thought like, wow, they're talking about cool technology. This isn't boring. This is actually fun. So I stayed there, and I'll never forget. It was channel 1, 2, 3. So it's very easy to remember.
Yeah, you know, just 1, 2, 3. I think mine was like 80-something, because we actually had ours on basic cable, surprisingly enough. Well, not basic, like enhanced cable or whatever the heck that the tier up above. Like, we didn't like when I started watching Tech TV, we didn't bother ever get digital cable. We never did for the longest time. And in fact, because of that, I end up losing access to Tech TV, but I won't go to that. But I think it was back when I had basic cable, back over in Comcast land in Michigan. Like I said, it was ZDTV then, and I think my first program that I really, truly, honestly watched, besides Screensavers, where I really got involved, was surprisingly Internet Tonight. I think that was my first program with Scott Harriet and Michaela Pereira.
Wow, I remember that program so vaguely.
That was the one where basically it was like let's talk. It was essentially, it's funny if I think about it now, like shows that like on the web that kind of have become what Internet Tonight was, or things like are things like Web at Night where they're on the Twit Network, yeah. or even something along the lines of even a Dignation, or sometimes even, you know, not necessarily MSFW, but like they would talk about the internet memes, like the weird kind of videos,
yeah.
Not necessarily on the real kind of racy side, but just sort of the random like tech memes that became sort of hits. It was strange. It was a very, very weird program. I remember at the end they had like a Google off to see if they could get a Google bomb, just sort of a one word, see if we get the lowest results. It was so bizarre. I later learned that actually Scott Harriet wasn't real name.
Really?
Yeah, apparently it was just like a stage name. That's what like Leo says. Apparently his like real name is something else. I have no idea what his real name is. So like I asked then, but yeah, besides Screensavers, what was another one of your favorite programs?
It was another one of my favorite shows. Well, you know, Call to Help always comes to mind, you know, but I always consider that like the little brother of Screensavers, you know. Another one, for the life of me, I've been thinking about this, but I cannot remember the name. What was the name of that show where they brought on, they took in guest submissions of 3D rendered videos?
Oh, shoot.
You're going to say it, and it's going to hit me.
I forgot that existed. I know which one you're talking about. Oh my God! I forgot.
So something with a camera, something lens, something
flare. I don't remember. I'd have to look that online. I will check that later and get back to you on that one. I know you're talking about, because I remember that program had a lot of cool animation. One, and some of it actually was like first run stuff. I remember. I'm not saying Pixar was on there, but I remember a lot of weird. I remember I saw a lot of interesting animation. I think I might even actually saw my first Pixar thing there. I think I saw the Toy Soldier, like the old Toy Soldier sort of drummer thing. I can't remember. It's been so long. I forgot that program existed.
Yeah, it's. I used to love that program, but that's the kind of program, you know. I would watch it and then get real excited for the first 2 seconds and realize it's a rerun, you know.
But see, for me, like the program, I mean, that I got really excited for other than Screensavers was Big Thinkers. That was my secondary show was Big Thinkers.
I didn't watch that a whole lot.
I watched that so much. I loved that mainly because that introduced my love for obviously Douglas Adams, Michio Kaku at that point, and a lot of different physicists that just kind of randomly came on. I was like, who are these guys? And like, I wasn't that big a science person, so I didn't really know. And then this guy comes up talking about string theory. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. I'll never get this, but this is really cool. This guy's a really nice talker. And I remember like they would have him. They had Steve Ballmer one episode and things like that. And I remember that was the kind of show I got really excited for seeing was Big Thinkers. And trying to think what else was the one I got really kind of into. I mean, other than, I guess, of course, there's Screensavers. Let's just hit the big elephant in the screen, which is the Screensavers. Now, I got to ask, since you came in the tech TV era, you did not experience Kate Batello at all.
Batello, no.
Yeah, you didn't experience her. So you're a Patrick Norton original then.
Right. Kate Batello was there. What was she doing? Why do I want to say that she was on Extended Play?
No, you're thinking of somebody. No, that's somebody else. It was on Extended Play. Yeah.
I know that I saw her at some point, but it wasn't for the Screensavers.
Yeah, no, Kate Batello. Well, can I remember Kate? You know, I think you're right. She did do Extended Play. You're right. She did do Extended Play for like a couple, like a month or two or a couple episodes.
And then Sessler went solo, and then Webb came to co-host with
Right. But I think that's later, way later down the line, because Sessler had always been apart from day one, but that was way later down the line. But I know Kate, like I said, was back in the tech TV day. I mean, the ZDTV day. So that was like my first experience. And I remember when Patrick Norton came out, I was like, who the hell is this guy? But I remember how Patrick won my respect the minute he came on, and it had nothing to do with tech. It was the fact of the matter he came on. It was a self-proclaimed punk. And back in that time, I was really into punk music. And he came on like with a long surfboard talking about Operation Ivy and like Bad Religion. I'm like, dude, okay, I can respect this guy. I don't care who he is. He's talking about punk and he's on tech TV. That works for me.
Oh, I'm going to be honest. Are we thinking of the same Patrick Norton here?
Yeah. No, seriously. He's a huge punk. He's a big ska guy. Like I learned that like from him. That's why it's interesting with him. Like if you hear him talk like randomly now, you can mention like get like stories from like Stevie GB, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was just sort of weird. Like he came on talking about punk like one time, like somehow he got talking about that in an episode. I was like, okay, I know one day I totally saw myself as a kid that one day when I meet him, I ask what his favorite punk band was. I think I now know it, but now that guy's a huge fucking punk. It's actually kind of cool. That's kind of what really got me like, okay, I can respect you now. I mean, you're mine kind of geek and whatnot. I mean, cause Leo, Leo had been on it for a while and everything else. So I got to ask, okay, since you came during the Patrick Norton days and whatnot, what was your favorite secondary kind of co-host character?
Favorite secondary kind of co-host character,
like a Kevin Rose or like a who was a chick that did all the internet like the internet stuff? What was her name?
Was it Morgan Webb?
I think Morgan Webb. Morgan Webb was there. Yeah, Morgan Webb was there, but there was another one. I forgot her name.
There was Kat Schwartz.
There we go. Kat Schwartz. I couldn't remember the other girl's name.
I like Kat Schwartz. Who is the other one?
There was the one that like really felt out of place, but I don't remember her name. I literally can't remember. It's such a random name that I literally just can't place it.
Remember. I don't remember. It's another one that's on the tip of my tongue, but I haven't thought about it in such a long time, you know? To answer your question, my favorite, I think, hands down, was Martin Sargent.
Really, Martin Sargent? Yeah, definitely. Martin was a kind of a weird character.
He
definitely was a strange kind of kooky guy. I always felt that for the longest time he wasn't the biggest tech nerd. I've learned since that he is, but that's beside the point.
He brought something, you know. He brought something unique to the show. I think, you know, he brought, like you say, his own kooky character, and I think that was. that was well utilized when they gave him his own show, you know, Unscrewed.
Yeah, but Unscrewed came way later.
Well, yeah, that's later. All I'm saying is, and to be fair, I didn't really watch Unscrewed all that much.
I remember. I'll be honest, I watched one episode of Unscrewed. I had, because I was a big Martin Sargent fan too.
And you were not impressed?
I wasn't not impressed. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I wish it were on sooner and not on Thursdays. It was some weird – it was a bizarre time slot because like that was at the point where the I think FCC made the ruling that you could like curse and like talk about things after a certain period of time.
That's when they put Martin,
you know, Unscrewed. And I remember when they put that there and they talked about it because I was like, that was a big thing. And I remember the first episode – I think even talked about like the adult device.
Oh goodness!
For let's just say for remote. Well, fuck it. Who cares? I'm cursing as a goddamn podcast. We have the explicit tag. Who gives a shit? It was for sex. It was like a drive you installed. I think it was actually a 3.25 drive. Sadly, yeah. I thought it was external. I don't remember the fuck it was, but I remember that it was a point where if you know obviously penetrated in one end, yeah. It would you know do the other side. Over dial up at that point, so you know there's a lag to it. I'm not kidding. This stuff existed.
No,
don't
I believe you.
Like, I remember they talked about this stuff. I guess it was weird. Either that, or I read it in a magazine. I don't remember. One of the two. It doesn't matter. It's about the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is that Martin Sargent had that kind of weird program, and he could do strange things like that.
Was this the first episode? The first episode of the show?
That was the first. I think I watched the first episode of the show, and then I didn't watch it after that. I can't remember why I didn't. I think it's just because, like I said, it was on a weird time slot.
Yeah,
and it was weird slot time. And by then, they started at that point when Unscrewed came out, they started airing. Which I like. That was what like almost the twilight of tech TV when they started airing like animes and like Max Headroom.
Yeah, that was weird.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that they aired Max Headroom because I never knew about that as a kid.
Nothing against Max Headroom. It's just the whole thing, the animes and the Max Headroom and all that felt out of place.
They did, but like I will say, Max Headroom. I'm thankful that they did air it because all the downloaded copies online are from the tech TV era because it was a lost show and it lasted only two or three seasons.
Yeah.
And I never watched it because I was a kid back then, so I didn't watch it. So after watching it now, I was like, man, this is a really cool show. And thinking about it now, it's a really awesome show. But it was bizarre to be on tech TV, like that thing.
Yeah, it got me thinking, like, why not talk about tech? This is tech TV. I can get my anime in many other places.
Well, I mean, that was during the sci-fi era. Do you remember when Sci-Fi Channel aired like anime? I mean, they might still do it. I don't know if they do.
Yes, they do. Yes.
But where they aired it a lot more. Like they actually aired like Sunday was like we're gonna play three animes this morning.
I remember that. Yeah.
Because that was the first time I saw like what was an anime? The Armitage. Armitage 3. That was the first place I saw it was on Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
And I remember like that's when that was during that era when everyone kind of aired something and then eventually like I said. Tech TV started airing anime. Although they aired really good ones too. They aired a lot of like kind of specially sort of random ones. I remember it's like Kira on there or something like that. But for sure, I mean, Screen Hero, like I said, was a great show until I think about like what when did because when did Tech TV get bought out by G4?
When did they get bought out by G4? Well, I assume when you mean it turned into G4 Tech TV, this kind of hybrid thing, right?
Yeah.
When did that happen? That was a very sad, sad day.
Well, because G4 was that weird station that, like, I never – like, I remember when G4 came out. And I remember thinking, as a kid, you know, thinking like, oh, wow, gaming television.
Same here. I thought that was cool.
But then I saw – ever actually watched G4? Did you ever watch the program Arena?
Arena, yes, I remember that.
Because I remember, like, I already flipped it on. I remember somehow we were like watching Tech TV, like not Tech TV, G4, and he's like, "Welcome to Arena, where we're gonna kick ass and show you games in like crazy way." And I remember they had the teams that played, and I remember specifically the episode that I knew this was ridiculous.
Which one was that?
The first was these challenges. Like the first challenge, okay, was the first person shooter, SOCOM, I think was at the time, which is fine, whatever, who cares. Then they busted out DDR.
I remember that exact episode.
But the thing was, they bust out DDR. They busted out, and at that time, I was actually playing DDR. I was playing, you know, medium, and I was actually playing standard mode and everything else. I was actually getting good at the time. And they busted out, like, we're going to put this on light mode. And I remember that one of the teams just got lucky because their other player had actually tried to play DDR once in time, and that's how they beat it. The other guy was failing bad. I was like, this is retarded.
Yeah.
Like, it literally occurred to me what they were doing, and, like, I was like, because that was the point where everyone tried to like make the gaming leagues and things like that, which works, and they are now, they're big things now, but it just had that weird like.
That's not the way to do
it. Well, no, it had that weird X Games vibe, because that was like, you know, during the era where everything had to be extreme, yeah. You know, and I remember that very clearly, that it was like, wow, this is retarded, and I remember thinking, like, telling my friends, we're watching this, like, this is stupid. I think we ended up watching it just for the heck of it, but I was not entertained. I was like more like entertained at like. Laughing, but yeah. I was not like, I could not watch that show. I could watch that entire, you know, station for hours on end. But
yeah, G4, you know, I wanted so badly to love G4. I put it in my mind. I wanted to have it elevated to the level of tech TV. Like, well, I got my tech fix. I got my video.
But this is the thing is that I realized on tech TV why it is you could have a channel on tech, and you can have a channel on tech if you kind of take it in a very broad sense and yeah. go, we'll talk about anything that involves technology, and you know that can be from science to sure. computers. Whereas gaming. As much as I love games and as much as there's news and you can have news on a website sort of thing, there's just not enough to make a channel dedicated to it. Yeah. If you want to hit the mainstream, and that's the problem. Like back then, when G4 was out, I think the PS2 was the system of choice. I don't even know. Maybe the Xbox finally. I don't even remember exactly. It's been such a while since I've thought about when G4 came out, but I remember that. They never touched any of the games that I played, and that was a problem, and they never really kind of – I remember the coolest program I saw, that the only thing that piqued my interest was a radio show kind of discussion on, I think, violence in video games, and actually having a really serious roundtable discussion. I was like, that seems kind of cool. Yeah. Now I remember what my favorite other tech TV show was, and I want to see if you remember it. Silicon Spin.
Silicon Spin, yes. I rarely watched it. Was it with John C. Dvorak?
Yes, right? John C. Dvorak. Yes, I don't know why. Like when I said roundtable, that triggered my mind with Silicon Spin. Because I remember that was pretty fun. I actually learned maybe a year ago, about the – do you remember apparently I can't remember if he was ever on, but I think Richard M. Stallman was on an episode for Silicon Spin, the guy that makes Linux. Or I should say, if I want to be correct, and Stallmanese, GNU/Linux, because Stallman can't really. Anyways, I won't talk Richard Stallman because he'll give me some hate mail. But I remember like that John had mentioned later that apparently. Either Richard Stallman was supposed to be on or not. I think they're going to have a Linux episode he was supposed to be on, but he would only be on if everyone referred to it as GNU Linux and wouldn't be on any other way. And I remember hearing that. I was like, wow, that is so asinine. You have no idea, do you, Richard? And I remember like hearing that from John C. like later on in life, like well beyond the tech TV era. And I was like, wow, that's hilariously funny. I started thinking about that when I had a roundtable discussion with Silicon Spin, which later has become what now is known as Cranky Geeks. I mean, essentially, Silicon Spin for all intents and purposes. But back to the whole G4 thing, I just remember like that was the only thing that kind of interested me. Beyond that, I didn't really care for game trailers. I sure as hell didn't really care for cutscenes to see on TV. I remember like I'd have it on. I was like, man, this is really boring.
There was one show that I remember, Icons, I think is what it was.
Was that the Machinima episode?
No. If I'm right, that's the one where they brought in like you know big shots of the gaming.
Oh,
like
right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool too.
That was cool.
But the thing is, like those kind of programs that were cool never amount to a full station.
I agree.
You know, they could have been put into a tech TV thing. So I remember when they merged, I was like, oh, well, maybe they're gonna keep the tech and do that. And then, you know, they kind of just said, well, we're just going to dump the tech news.
Yeah.
Keep the screensavers in a weird, weird fashion.
It was the screensavers in name.
Well, no. I mean, like, there are some cool people that got introduced to that era for sure. Like our good boys, Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. Yeah. So, I mean, we had some good tech guys that have come out of the woodwork as cool cats.
For sure.
And I mean, of course, there was other things that were on there, but I remember like at that era when they started, at least on G4, when they started really straying away, and then they started airing other programs. I remember the first one that I ever hear about that they were going to show was The Man Show.
The mansion, exactly. I thought, what the hell is this doing on here? This has no business on Tech TV or G4 or G4 Tech TV.
That was a strange thing. I remember like they were showing the man show, and I was like, God, that was so, it was so strangely bizarre and so kind of out of place that I didn't really know what to think or even go beyond that. I mean, I was so flabbergasted when that came on.
Same
but
here, same
I mean, granted, then Tech TV kind of died, and then you know we move on to
G4 8
more or less what Tech TV was, and then a couple of years passed, and you know Leo you know turns on what at the time was called the Revenge of the Screensavers, episode 0 beta, and then like an episode 1, which I remember the first episode of Trots, I guess we'll call it. I remember the first episode of The Revenge of the Screensavers, they actually had to bleep out the revenge of the boop, boop, boop. Because apparently G4 had actually sent a cease and desist.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Apparently they sent a cease and desist because they still own the rights to Screensavers.
Who cares? It makes it so much
better. That was awesome. I remember the first episode had actually the Screensavers theme song, too. It was hilarious. It was funny as hell.
The second theme song, the most recent.
Yeah, the most recent one, like the one that – no, it had the original theme
song. Oh, it had the original theme song.
Yeah, the original one with Patrick in the background.
Oh, yes!
And you heard the horn. I was like, I know exactly which version. It was hilariously funny because I realized he was playing it. I was like, oh, my God.
That was amazing.
It was great. I mean, it was a good episode. I realized that was – like they kept trying to figure out names, and Trots was the joke one because, you know – what else Trots means, the Revenge of the Screensavers. And I remember that's what Leo said. It was hilarious. He's like, I had to bleep this because they sent a cease and desist. And it was so awesome because like the revenge of the beep, beep. And I knew what he said, the Revenge of the Screensavers. It was hilarious. He said like, which I've now got a cease and desist for apparently. So I should bleep that. But I mean, that was, you know, TV back in 2000s. But I'm going to actually switch up since we're starting to talk about TV and whatnot. I'm actually going to go back about, I guess from now, 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Which would be 1990.
Right.
So I got to ask you, the year is 1990, or nine decade. Let's say the decade 1990.
It was the 90s.
In the 90s in general. Let's start with animation. What was your top show?
Dragon Ball Z?
Really?
My best memory, this was a perfect day for me. Check it out. I come home from school. I'd walk back from United Middle School, you know,
right.
Me with my friends, you know, and then I'd come home, throw my backpack aside, you know, my homework will come some other time, you know, get there in time for Dragon Ball Z and get this, a Pop-Tart, but not just any Pop-Tart, a cinnamon frosted Pop-Tart. Had to be a cinnamon frosted Pop-Tart.
Okay. All right. Let's rewind to cinnamon frosted Pop-Tart. Why?
Cinnamon frosted Pop-Tart?
Yes.
Because I love cinnamon frosted Pop-Tarts.
But like, why specifically, like, it had to be the cinnamon frosted? Like what if you opened up the cupboard and there was, like, you know, the s'mores kind?
I would begrudgingly take out the
s'mores. Oh, come on. It's a s'mores.
I've never been a fan.
What?
I don't like s'mores.
Why don't you like s'mores?
You know why I don't like s'mores? Because I don't like marshmallows.
Well, how do you not like marshmallows?
I'm just weird that way.
Why? Where did your hatred for marshmallows come from? Let's table like the 90s right now. let's discuss.
You're going to take me on a marshmallow. Okay.
Let's why is it that you hate the goodness that is a marshmallow?
I do not hate marshmallows. Well, I just don't. Okay.
Why do you despise the mallow?
I love all of marshmallows except the squishiness of them.
Why? That's the best part.
It just gets in your teeth and it's
come on.
Ugh.
All right, well, let's see. Okay, what about peanut? Do you like peanut butter?
I love peanut butter.
Well, that gets in your teeth.
It's different.
How is that different?
Because peanut butter is, how can I put this? Peanut butter is supposed to get in your teeth.
No!
It tastes better than, marshmallows don't taste.
How do you not like marshmallows? I can't believe you. I really did not know this about you.
It's different. You know, it's squishy when it's not supposed to be squishy. Like, I don't want a pillow of sugar in my mouth.
How does that not sound delicious?
It's just one of those things. I've just never liked marshmallows. And, you know, I remember I was in Boy Scouts. We do Boy Scouts.
Okay, so that's a good question. Like, what was your first, your first memory of a marshmallow that you're like, I can't stand this. This is disgusting. Your earliest memory, if you can.
I have a quick answer for you, but what comes to mind is Boy Scouts.
Okay.
We'd be toasting the marshmallows and all that, and that was the most disgusting thing I've had in my. Oh my God, it was awful. We'd make s'mores, and I'd say, "Give me the s'mores without the main ingredient."
You can't do that. That's just melted chocolate on graham crackers.
Is that bad?
Yes!
Melted chocolate on anything is awesome.
But not on graham crackers.
What are you talking about? I love graham crackers and I love melted chocolate.
Yeah, but you need a little bit solid.
And marshmallows are solid.
Well, that's the point, is that marshmallows are supposed to be gooey and sticky.
No.
Oh, my God.
Chocolate and graham crackers are my two favorite things.
So you were the kid that was like, okay, little Jimmy, what would you like? A s'more. What would you like? Like Billy? A s'more. What would you like, little Vito? A s'more without the marshmallows. Huh? And they'd look at you like they didn't kick you out like immediately. I thought that was a rule that like you had to have roasted like marshmallows and shit.
A rule? There's no s'mores merit badge.
See, I thought there was like a s'mores merit badge.
There should be.
Like I thought there was like a ban like they'd look at you strangely and go, "Are you queer?"
No. They looked at me strangely.
But did they call you like a queer or something like that? Like
did they call me queer?
Because the Boy Scouts were like apparently really anal on that stuff. That's kind of funny, anal. But I can't believe you don't like marshmallows.
It's just one of my...
All right, okay. Okay, so apparently it would have to be a cinnamon...
Gotta be a cinnamon frosted Pop-Tart. Exactly.
No s'mores, no strawberries, no blueberries.
A strawberry would tie me over until we went out and bought more cinnamon frosted Pop-Tarts.
I am so bizarrely confused and perplexed that is the...
And it could not be toasted.
It could not be toasted?
Nor could it be frozen, because frozen Pop-Tarts are actually very good. It had to be
okay. Hold the effing phone. We got to rewind again. Frozen Pop-Tarts are delicious.
They're amazing. Has nobody tried frozen Pop-Tarts?
No.
They're good.
Explain why.
It's okay, fine. Maybe not frozen. By frozen, I mean in the refrigerator. But frozen would be good, too.
But you said frozen. Or do you mean like cold Pop-Tart?
Cold Pop-Tarts.
Colder Pop-Tarts are different than frozen. Like, we're talking like in like the freezer is frozen.
Right.
Okay. Like you said cold Pop-Tarts, that's just like out of the box. That's valid.
Well, I guess so. You know, I make the distinction between, you know, a Pop-Tart out of the pantry box and a Pop-Tart out of the refrigerator box. I should say.
I'm still amazed at this hatred for marshmallows still.
I do not hate. I just do not like. I do not despise. Like, if you were to put a plate of marshmallows right here and say, "Vito, we're having marshmallows today," I'd politely say no thanks. But if you give me that, like death glare, like, "You're going to offend me because I made these marshmallows with my blood, sweat, and tears," I'll eat the marshmallow.
I'll be honest, I don't even know how the hell to make a marshmallow.
Neither do I.
I don't have a clue. Like, I know the basics of making cotton candy, and that's about it. Okay, well, what's your opinion on cotton candy while we're talking about it?
What do I think about cotton candy?
Yeah.
I love it and I hate it. I love eating cotton candy.
Why do you hate it?
It for the same reason that I don't
God
like marshmallows.
God damn it. It doesn't stick in your mouth. It makes your mouth sticky.
It does because you eat it and it's so delicious. It's like little strings of sugar that turn into goop that sticks in your mouth.
But that's the point of sugar.
No. See, when I think of sugar, I think of like ice cream, right? You get ice cream and then you can savor it on your tongue where sugar belongs. And like a hard candy, the sugar's wherever you want it. You can put it on your tongue. You can put it on the side of your mouth. But it stays there.
Right.
You know?
And so your reason for hating the cotton candy and the marshmallow, your oppression towards the race of marshmallows and the race of cotton candy people is the fact of the matter that you just don't like them just going all around your mouth.
That's about it.
But is that just in the sugar world, or is that anywhere else in food worlds?
In general, yes, but I'm more tolerant to things that are not sugar. I'm doing a self-psychoanalysis thing. Here's what it is.
Go for it.
My dad's a dentist.
So?
My dad has always, you know, drilled it into my head, forgive the pun, that sugar is okay in moderation. Sugar is not so good if it sticks in your teeth, because then it's just like doing its sugar thing and like messing up your teeth.
Well, then why did you chocolate? Chocolate tends to stick in your teeth.
Because through hell or high water, no one will take my chocolate. God damn it.
So you make the exception. So basically, you're just like, your chocolate was your rebellion.
It's basically everything.
So your dad was like, "No sugar, son. Fuck you, dad. I'm going to eat the chocolate.
I'm eating my goddamn chocolate."
What do you think about this now with a Hershey bar in your mouth?
And yeah.
God like almighty, that. That's awesome. Like, were you the kid who was just like, "Look at this, dad." You take the chocolate syrup.
So something like that.
God almighty, that's fucking awesome. That's awesome. That's a rebellion. I didn't know your dad was a dentist.
He's a dentist.
So I always thought your dad was a lawyer.
No. My dad would make such a bad lawyer. No offense. I love my dad. Some people are cut out for dentists. Some people are cut out for
lawyers. How long has he been a dentist? I mean, like...
It's his entire life, practically.
Where's he practicing, out of curiosity?
In Laredo. He practices in the Heights.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of curious. I've always wondered. Like, I've never had a friend whose dad's a dentist. I've had many friends whose dad's doctors, and some who are lawyers. I've never had a friend whose dad's a dentist. I think I've even, I take it back. One of my dad's friends, I think, was a family dentist. I think there was, I forgot their last name. I think it was Schwartzman. I forgot their name. I'll have to ask my parents again. But let's get away from the sugar for now because we just got completely derailed. So cinnamon pop tart, cold or toasted, didn't matter.
Well, preferably straight out of the pantry.
Preferably straight out of the pantry, quicker, easier to eat. Mm-hmm. Sit down in front of your
not sit, plop down.
Plop, okay.
Plop down on the sofa, throw aside my backpack and plop down on the sofa and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the Dragon Ball Z theme song.
Dragon Balls!
Something like that one.
Okay.
And, you know, that was my favorite anime. I lived for that anime.
But why, because during that era, I'm trying to think. That was the big one. I mean, like, for me in anime, like, my introduction, I mean, other than Sailor Moon, of course, everyone knew that. For me, my introduction to anime was Ronin Warriors, which I later learned on was actually a really cool anime, but that's beside the point. And then I think, I never got into Dragon Ball Z. I always tried. I had friends that loved Dragon Ball Z. But I remember that even, like, I never could get into it. And they're like, look, this is Dragon Ball Z. And I'm like, this is kind of stupid.
It is.
I mean, not saying it's a bad anime. I mean, it has some great points. But the thing was, is that I remembered that each episode, like,
was exactly
was probably exactly the same. Was like, essentially, you'd have, you basically had, you know, Goku and, like, some he had some Goku and some other random enemy, Vegeta, Cell, whoever the heck.
Even who
and they just have a pissing contest for like a half hour. Mm-hmm. Not even half hour. It was like 27 minutes together, 3 minutes for commercials. Or was it 25? That doesn't matter. Basically, you have a pissing match for X amount of time. And then it's like, okay, let's start the real battle now. Tune in next week for the real battle. And I remember each time it was exactly the same damn thing. I remember like there were like that was essentially each episode for the most part. And maybe there was a couple of filler episodes where it's like, let's watch Goku learn how to drive.
Yay.
Because he's not a human, so driving is confusing to him.
I hated those episodes.
How we all did, but
I'll be completely honest. I knew full well exactly what Dragon Ball Z was. And I loved it for that.
But was it just because it was mindless entertainment you loved it?
Mindless entertainment because there were these, like, how can I best put this? Maybe a part of me wanted to be Goku in some sense. Like, maybe a part of me wanted to be that guy who spends the entire episode powering up and never does anything with it.
You see, for me, I was like, I was the kid I think the cartoons I got really into back then in middle school were definitely I was definitely a Nickelodeon kid.
Oh, yes.
I was definitely a huge Hey Arnold fan, you know, obviously Ariel Monsters and the rest of yada yada yada. I was a huge Nickelodeon fan for some reason. I remember the show that I loved and still love to this day is Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers. That's an interesting case.
Don't tell me you don't like Angry Beavers. Don't you dare tell me, because there's an episode I'm going to bring up that if you don't like, I will slap you right here on the air. And these poor people who are listening to this podcast will hear a smack, and they'll wonder what the hell that was all about.
Okay, here we go. I'm diplomatically choosing my words.
No diplomatic. There ain't no there ain't no BS.
I loved Angry Beavers.
All right,
as I love some of the other ones.
Okay, you hated Angry Beavers. Okay.
So you
despise Angry Beavers. Okay, I see how it is.
You didn't.
What was it? The big teeth?
I was about to say me to Angry Beavers is like me to marshmallows, but I never said that.
You said that right now.
No, I said I was about to say that, but I never actually said that.
That's all right. So you hated Angry Beavers. Okay, okay.
I hated Angry Beavers.
Why'd you hate Angry Beavers?
It didn't make any sense. Where Dragon Ball Z was my mindless entertainment.
Okay, all right. Let's go back to not making sense because I need to ask a question now, and then this might travel on to an entirely topic on its own right. Thoughts on Animaniacs?
Animaniacs, wow. Boy, Animaniacs.
Because that was a very random show.
Very, okay. Again, I'm choosing my words as carefully.
No, same.
Because I don't even know what I feel about that show, and I watched all the episodes.
I loved Animaniacs, but that's neither here nor there.
I felt that I would watch Animaniacs just long enough for Tiny Toon Adventures to come on, which is the show I really wanted to watch.
See, this is the funny thing was, I would be the flip. Like, I love Tiny Toon Adventures, but then Animaniac came out of nowhere. I was like, this is way funnier. These are way better staff. I would later learn on that these are way better staff writers. Because well,
they are.
The thing is that if you, it's funny. I've been kind of tripping back on all the cartoons recently, and I've watched Animaniacs, and that still holds up.
Tiny Toons was kind of mindless and
Tiny Toons. The thing is that there's certain shows that get stuck in their era. There's certain shows that are stuck in like the era they're from. For like Hammer Time can never exist in now. Hammer Time can only exist in the 90s because that was the MC Hammer cartoon, which we won't talk about. Sure. It's okay. I won't go over those cartoons. You know, That the All Stars, that sports cartoon with like Bo Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, I think Michael Jordan.
Vaguely.
Like that can only exist in the 90s. There's no way that can exist now, even with like updated things. Tiny Toons is one of those shows that literally you watch, you're like, wow, that is from the 90s.
This is a great 90s cartoon.
It feels like it's stuck in the 90s. And like you watch it now, you're like, oh, I remember that back in the 90s. Animaniacs you could watch right now, and because of the gags they made, you know, spoofing on The Godfather and like Casino and like, you know, fucking – like I remember they even spoofed on I think either Apocalypse Now or Full Metal – I think it was Apocalypse Now they spoofed on or Full Metal Jack. I can't remember what episode it was. But like spoofing on those – you know, they became timeless.
I think part of it is that I didn't understand some of those references.
See, I didn't either. I didn't either at the time, but I was laughing at them knowing they were funny.
They were fun. And like the – what was it? The spoof on The Godfather was like the pigeons.
Yeah, the good feathers. Actually, to be honest, it was more of a spoof on Goodfellas, which I didn't know until later on in life when I saw Goodfellas and I'm like, oh my God, they really did spoof on Goodfellas. And it was funny because – as a kid, like you said, like I didn't either have an idea what was going on. I didn't know these were spoofs on very classic sort of anime, you know, movies and whatnot. And then I grew up and watched those movies, and I go, wow, no wonder this, like, you know, adults like this cartoon as much as kids did. Because, you know, I mean, it was a cartoon, and it was a Warner Brothers cartoon, so it could have gone either way. But I guess, you know, Spielberg and the staff writers really knew what the hell they were doing.
Sure, yeah, it was well written. And, you know, now that I – just in thinking about it now, remembering the snippets of the episodes that I remember from way back when, they're a lot funnier for me now that I understand the references than they were when I was a kid.
Okay, so that was the same thing for me in Angry Beavers, because there was a whole bunch of random kind of movie references. Actually, the really classic episode – I think it was like the last episode I ever saw of Angry Beavers. I don't know if it was the last episode. But I remember that it was sort of a round robin storytelling session. And at that point, I'd always seen Braveheart. I'd seen a couple movies and whatnot. So I was already kind of in my movie mode when Angry Beavers came out. And they started like, okay, pass the story. And they basically told the story in different kind of storytelling fashions. Like one was told in like a noir kind of way. Another one was told like literally like Braveheart. It was hilarious. One of the best ones, why I say the joke, was one of them was like an anime-esque kind of telling, and I was laughing my ass off because I got a lot of these inside jokes. And my favorite kind of joke is the inside kind, where it's sort of where I think Kevin Smith said, like I said before, him or Scar, I forgot who said it, but it was on one of the Clerk cartoon, that it's kind of a joke for three. You know, it's like it's basically an inside joke between you and the writers, and it's a beautiful joke when you get those references, because it's just, because if you don't get those references, like, oh, that's funny, ha ha ha, but you hear it, you're like, oh my God, I know where they're spoofing on, that's even funnier, for me at least. So that was what Angry Beavers were. Obviously to you, you're just like, ah, this is mindless entertainment, I'm gonna go to my bashing of brawn and muscle and collecting Dragon Balls and making a wish to like some dragon
it's
god
so
to
true.
Like resurrect some guy that died 8 years ago because we need him back for this one episode to make a fucking storyline thread. Right. God damn it. Really? It's really Dragon Ball? Okay.
I loved that show.
All right. Okay. So Dragon Ball Z was your numero uno show in the animation side of things. Let's go to live action and back in the 90s. And this can be any fucking station. We can go to if you want, I'll even limit you to a station if you need help on that.
Wow. Live action.
Like keep in mind, during the 90s, we had such classic shows as, and I say classic with very big quotation marks, as Home Improvement and fucking, was Full House was 90s, right?
Full House was 90s.
Full House and, at that point we fucking had, Full House, Home Improvement, Boy Meets World, for some bizarre reason, And God, what else? I mean, and then of course there's the stuff that was on, of course, Nickelodeon, which is Pete and Pete and everything else. But let's limit you to ABC. Let's give you the TGIF lineup.
Here, look, I'll be completely honest.
Like, and these could be guilty pleasures. They don't have to be like.
Well, most, you know, the truth is, I simply didn't watch a whole lot of those shows. That you
really?
No, you know,
really,
Home Improvement never watched it.
Yeah. See, like my guilty pleasure was like Family Matters.
I never watched that one either.
Oh my God! You never watched Family Matters or Urkel? Do you know what Urkel is, right?
I do.
Okay, wow. I'm kind of amazing. Well, why not? Why not the live action stuff?
I don't know. It's you know, maybe
like not even Snick. Like Snick, you didn't watch.
No.
Because Snick counts too.
All this except Nickelodeon.
Okay.
I loved a lot of the.
All right. Okay. Well, let's give you the Nickelodeon side of things. Favorite Nickelodeon side live action of the 90s.
Does Are You Afraid of the Dark count?
Yeah, that's a 90s
thing. I love that show. That and Doug.
Doug's animated, though.
No. All I'm saying, you know, animation aside, that and Doug and Ren and Stimpy, I think, were my three all-time favorite Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, but okay.
But for live action, Are You Afraid of the Dark, hands down.
Really?
Yes.
Like, no love for Salute Your Shorts or Hey Dude.
I love those two. Those were, but Are You Afraid of the Dark is king in my mind.
Why Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Would you know I was watching Are You Afraid of the Dark and Doug, for that matter? Like 2 days ago, I just like.
Oh really? Okay.
My cousin has as all of it. And Are You Afraid of the Dark is up on YouTube also. Like every last episode.
Do you happen to know what the hell that sand was?
Sorry.
The stuff that they threw.
Sugar. Remember,
yeah, was it sugar?
Table sugar.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I looked it up one day.
I did not. So your most hated of things was thrown in the fire. So that must have made you happy to have sugar.
No. I love sugar. I don't like marshmallows.
Yeah, but marshmallows are the epitome of sugar.
I know.
If you had the fire, would you throw marshmallows in there instead of melt and disgust?
I don't hate marshmallows enough to do.
Would you even like submit it for your approval for the Midnight Society? Splat. Why do I still remember the submitted for your approval for the Midnight Society?
The tale of whatever.
Whatever the hell.
Oh, yes.
Oh God. Well, all right. Let's see if you can remember. Name your. Okay. I have a favorite character already from reoccurring story character. Let's see what was your favorite reoccurring story character?
Reoccurring.
Because I'll tell you mine right
character.
Now.
Oh, boy. I think. Professor Vink.
Really? See, mine was Sardo.
Sardo.
Or sourdough. That's sawdough with an S. I remember that specifically. That was my favorite character because he was just sort of this weird guy that almost like a Stephen King kind of needful things character that would sell you whatever you wanted, but with a, you know, with a fucking like twist at the end.
String attached.
There's a string attached. Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, you want to play pinball with these quarters? Go for it. But you know, you're gonna become the fucking pinball machine.
I was thinking about those two, Sardo and Vink. You know, and. I had to go with Vink, you know, because Sardo seems to me. I agree with you, but he seems more like the whimsical magician.
But that's why I loved him, because he was sort of this weird kind of kooky cat that like had a store that, you know, I forgot the store was called. I forgot that. I'd look it up later. But I remember he would just have this weird store that he would just sell anything you wanted, and it would always be this like random magical shit. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you want X-ray glasses? I got a pair. Like, yes. What? Why do you have X-ray glasses?
He just does.
But like, what was he doing with his life? Like, I always wondered, like, what the guy did to, like, get where he was at.
He exists to sell random crap to unsuspecting children so that they can make horror stories out of it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I say that because, like, I mean, the guy, I mean, let's put this guy in the real world. I mean, because in all intents and purposes, if you walked in that store as a kid and your mom saw you walk in that store as a kid and saw that guy, your mom would pull you the fuck out of that store and call the cops as there's a child rapist running a fucking magic store. Because that guy looked like a child rapist. Like, there is no way about it. He looked like a fucking child rapist, and he was scary and frightening, and he was awesome. But I don't understand how he existed in this world and, like, made money. Because, like, he never, like, sold anything, like,
to anybody else,
but, yeah. Like, you're the main character of the story, so I will sell you a whoopee cushion that does X, or, you know, a vial that, like, changes you to a, you know, mutant. I don't know. But, I mean, the point is, I remember, like, he was sort of, like, this character. I remember some episodes, for example, he became, like the savior. Like, he'd make a potion, or he didn't even know half the shit he was selling.
Yeah.
I remember, like, that was why I loved him, was that he would seem really cool. And then, like, later on in the episode, he'd become a bumbling idiot and wouldn't know what the hell he was doing. I think that's why I enjoyed him as much as I did.
Yeah, he was a fun character. That's for sure.
And that, the sawdough with an S. Like, yeah, I always remember that.
Every single time. And it's Vink with a V-V-V.
Yeah, exactly. That was right, Vink with a V-V-V. I forgot the Vink one. So Vink wasn't my favorite. I always remember sawdough with an S. It was some stupid thing like that. Because he was – I remember, like – I think the guy had like weird kind of like a Jew kind of curly hair going on.
He did,
or something like that. Something like a mullet. Like almost like a mullet. He almost had like a he almost kind of like, it's funny. It kind of reminds me of the main character, like at least the hair wise from Eastbound and Down. I have to fucking look at a picture for Sardo, but I always remembered that if ever I saw this guy in the real world, and like he was an actually store clerk, like my parents were the kind of like they barely let me go into like comic book stores to get like magic cards and whatnot, and those guys are fucking shady. And this guy, if that guy really world, they're like, would you like to see my X-ray glasses? like all the things he could have said, you know, how about my magic wand? Like no, like they would just pull me out of there.
Let's go, son.
Like no, they wouldn't be let's go, son. They would just yank me the fuck out and then call the police and like you. know, you'll say how although the dirty things he said to my little son, you know, my little boy. Like, God, if I think about that, because that guy got really creepy very quickly, and it was a weird character. I remember he had all these like yellow shirts and like I remember he had like the really deep V necks. I think I remember correctly, like you could see his body, like his chest hair and shit like that.
And like you know, Vink was creepy as a reason I loved Vink was because he was creepy in like kind of a sinister way. Like he always had his ulterior motive.
That's true.
Sardo, he was just like child molester.
But that's why I loved him. I think I subconsciously loved that because I was like, man. I mean, because that was the era where they got away with a lot of shit. Like, let's be fully honest. Like, that was the era that got away with a lot of shit on TV. Like that was the era that Ren and Stimpy could do Don't Whiz on the Electric Fans.
Like,
Ren and Stimpy, like, watching that show and Rocko's Modern Life are, you know, there's only so many shows that are equivalent to that.
I agree.
Like, I'm trying to think of a show now that made me realize that The Next Generation was just going to be an effed up. I think the show that made me realize that The Next Generation should just be as messed up as us was the show. Have you heard of the show Yo Gabba Gabba?
Yo, I've heard of it. Don't know anything about it.
So Yo Gabba Gabba is a show made by, I forget I think they're two guys from the band The Aquabats, and it is bizarre as hell. It is like to the point where they have like you watch some clips and you're like, wow, this is on acid. This is awesome. Like these guys are the bands. I guess it's a kid show. They can do shit. Like they sent like their character to Coachella.
Coachella,
the music festival there in California, where like a whole bunch of like the Gorillaz play, for example, and like Foo Fighters, thing like that. Okay. You know, a fucking drug infested fucking party, drunk, there's a very famous clip online of Coachella of a wizard who's just fucking drunk out of his mind and like running pantless or naked or some shit like that. I forgot the fucking clip. But the point is that these guys go to Coachella and have something. Coachella is like, you know, like a concert haven, and it's like weird shit, and it's like these guys are there, and this is a kids program.
What network is
Nickelodeon?
This is on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, or it was. I don't know if it's still on. It might still be on. Hmm. Like that might be still on, or like fuck. What was the other one? What was another show that made me realize The Next Generation was just as messed up? That one for sure makes me realize that. There are a couple of shows too, but for sure, fucking Yo Gabba Gabba. But let's go back to our era where things were pretty fucked up. I mean,
I was gonna say where things were so innocent, but no.
Well, I mean, like let's take Rocko's Modern Life.
Rocko's Modern Life.
Were you a big fan of Rocko's Modern Life?
I love Rocko's Modern Life.
But you know what's funny? I've actually learned from the reading the creator. I think the guy's named Joe D. I forgot his last name. It was like Joe DiMaggio. I'll have to double check that. But I remember that he's talked about it because he posted on his blog at one point. Well, after that, you know, when he was doing what was the show on Cartoon Network? What was it called? With Camp Lazlo. There we go. And he was working on Camp Lazlo at that time. He was talking about how Rocko's Modern Life was an experimental animation.
Experimental animation, really.
Like that's what he considered it. And if I watch Rocko's Modern Life now, it's one of those shows that again holds up because it is so out there that you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, pretty much.
I remember, God, I'm thinking of the fucking episodes. Like, there's the scene I'm thinking in my head. There's a scene where I guess, like, Ed Bighead, like, lost his mind. And somehow, for some reason, the people that had to knock him out, like, to put him back to normal was Heifer and what's his face?
Phil Burns.
And they're just looking at him, and they're just like staring at him. And you see like his face, and like you see his eyes like have like the snow of the TV screen on there.
Yeah.
Eventually, his like tongue falls down, and they're looking at him, and they're like, you know, Ed, like come here. Like there's a weird thing there. It says, like, I am your conscience. No, we are your conscience. You said wee wee. Say it again. Wee wee. And it was a weird fucking thing. And it's weird as hell because you watch this cartoon. And as a kid, I'm laughing and whatnot. But as an adult, I watch it again and go, wow, I now know why I'm messed up as I am.
Like, what did that do to me? You know?
Well, because like there's this one clip I've been looking for like the longest time for Ren Stimpy. I wonder what episode it has on it. If someone who's listened to this podcast knows what episode you can find the clip, I will give you money. I will give you something because I need to find this clip. You know, before every time they did like the whole their other kind of cartoon, like the secondary cartoon where they said, "At last, I have control of your TV set."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's one where it's I will vividly remember it, where it's like, "At last, I have control of your TV set. Are you receiving me?" We're broadcasting from a secret location, and Stimpy says the best line ever: "Deep inside the belly of a sperm whale."
I remember this.
And then they cut to I guess at that point the other shot of a sperm whale bent over in pain on a doctor's like bed saying, "Oh God, it hurts." And I remember it vividly that I was like, oh my God, I literally like had to pause and like start like laughing. Like I missed half the rest, like the rest of what they're saying because I was laughing so hard, like deep within the belly of a sperm whale. I was like, oh my God. Like as a kid, I was like, this is fucked up. Yeah. Like I was like laughing so hard. I was like, what the hell am I watching? Why am I watching this? This is so hilariously awesome. Like that was a good one. I mean, everything else was bizarre, but like, okay. So I guess since we're on the Ren Stimpy trip, what was your favorite? Favorite episode.
Wow. I'm going to say...
Or at least one you remember vividly.
Oh, the first one that comes to mind, you know, anytime you mention it, is the Happy Helmet.
Really? The Happy, Happy, Joy, the Happy, 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 Joy, Joy, Joy. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, for me, the vivid song that was in my head was the Royal Kilted Yaksman.
Yes, of course.
Mainly because it... Which I later learned the word. I later realized as an adult when I was singing, there's a line where they say, "And we will probably go to hell, and that is our great reward."
Yeah, exactly.
For it, like that is the great reward, is going to hell. Like I didn't realize like what I was singing as a kid, and I later learned, like, wow, that is bizarrely dark in like a very funny fashion. Like that is their great reward for being royal, you know,
yeah,
Canadian
yeah.
royal killed. Like it was a very dark song because it was like, we'll die doing this regardless.
And what is it like our
bones will bleach in the sun.
It will bleach in the sun. Yeah, yeah.
I love like, and we'll probably go to hell. Like yeah. Nowhere else. Like this is what aired. Like they had to censor to heck. But the fact of the matter that that their creator, I forget the guy's name, was like, no, they're going to hell because they're Royal Canadian Kilted Yaksman.
The creator got a big, like, there was a lot of controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Because the creator himself, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was the voice for Stimpy.
No. Voice for Stimpy actually was the same voice
For Ren?
No. The voice for Stimpy was, oh my God, I'm blanking his name. He also does the voice for, who's the main guy in Futurama? What's the character's name?
Fry.
He also does the voice for Fry. Yeah, yeah. And I forgot his name. It'll come to me in a second. But no, Stimpy was done by someone way, way different. Yeah. I forgot what voices the creator did, if any.
I remember now. If I'm right, you know, because I was at I Love Video, you know, and just
browsing,
you know, the Ren and Stimpy section. And I read up on it because they had the Ren and Stimpy like the lost episode.
It was Bill something for the voice of Stimpy. God, it'll kind of make you keep talking.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, this guy was originally doing the voice for Stimpy, right? And then he got in big trouble because I think he released some episodes that were like, you know, what we talk about is pretty bad, but these were like,
That was during the era when like Spike TV, like when I think it was, I don't know if it was Spike or MTV, might have been MTV at the point when they
took on Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Cause there is point like later on where the creator decided to make, you know, the fucking, like, the gay episodes and, like made them, like, a couple. It was weird as hell. Like, that's where it kind of, like, lost me really quickly. Because, like, at the beginning, it was very bizarre and kind of gross out humor. And then he's like, well, let's just up the ante. And, like, you know, I remember the episode that was the strangest that's in my mind was the episode where they went to like, one of their fans' houses. And I remember when they're going from Hollywood to like they're like you know, have a day with Ren Stimpy. Yeah. I remember the father was like, "Show me your hands, smooth as a baby's bottom." those aren't man's hands. These are man's hands. And they're like these like hilly kind of, you know, caverns on hands and mountains and calluses and things like that. And I remember that like that episode in my mind sticks out. That one, of course, the episode, the my other my, one sticks in my mind was definitely the episode. God, what was that one where like Catelyn was like not Catelyn, like hairballs were like a commodity.
Oh yeah, that one. And Stimpy, you had to keep pumping out hairballs.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I remember there was a point where I think it got like he ran out of a hair, and
he had to start licking Ren's back.
He licked Ren's back, and after Ren was done, he licked what's his face, Kowalski's back. Kowalski? That was the inmate like from like a couple episodes ago that they had released that loved meat so much. I remember that was the guy, and I remember like he had this hairy disgusting back.
Oh yeah, that guy.
And that was they licked Kowalski's back. And I remember like the minute they were out of it, I was like, that means it's over. It's over. That was the end of the episode for some stupid reason. Like, I don't even know what the hell's going on, but I just remember that for some reason hairballs became like a commodity.
Yeah.
Like was in fashion or some shit like that. It was weird as hell. God, Ren and Stimpy, that really kind of brings back some memories. Okay, so you basically are your friend in the dark, Ren and Stimpy, and Doug.
We're my top Nickelodeon shows.
Why Doug?
Why Doug? You know,
because I mean, like honestly, like I've thought about it before. I've recently thought about Doug, and
you know, Doug is a very it is one of my favorite cartoons of all time ever. You know. Anything. And, you know, like I said, I was just watching it literally about 2 days ago. I finished watching Disc 8. Season 8. Just
but was that – but was Season 8, was that still the Nickelodeon era? Was that,
For me, Doug is the Nickelodeon era.
Well, no, because like, I say that because
– Then, yeah, I know Disney did their own thing. That I have nothing to do – I don't know anything about it.
Really? Okay.
I know it exists, and I've seen a few clips here and there, but I never knew that.
Oh, okay,
know?
Okay.
For me, it ended with Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So, you know, why Doug? You know, I think it's because I
kind of like Doug. I'm not against Doug. It's just Doug, if I think about it, wasn't my favorite. Like, Doug was like I'd watch it, and, you know, I remember, you know, I remember, like, the, you know, the fucking, we had Doug Funny, Skeeter Valentine,
Patty Mayonnaise,
Roger Klotz,
Chalky
Studebaker. That's why I was like, Studebaker was that. God, what, you know, do you realize, like, at least, like, I think one of them definitely is a car name. I mean, Studebaker's a fucking car.
Yeah.
I'd like to. You know, maybe they're all fucking car names. I don't know. but yeah, BB Bluff of the aristocratic bluffs that apparently found Bluffington. And of course, the what was Mr. Dink's first name?
Bud.
Bud. Okay, Bud Dink. Okay. And then we had his sister. What was her fucking name? Doug's sister, what was her fucking name?
Oh, Judy.
Judy Funny. And then didn't she have a couple of, like, random friends that kind of came, like a theater troupe that she fucking traveled
with? Oh, yeah. I mean, Judy had all her own
stuff. And then, of course, the ever-popular Porkchop, the dog. What was Klotz's cat's name?
Stinky.
Stinky? Okay. I could remember that. Stinky the cat. So that's our band of characters. And a couple other ones that came in, like that. I forgot her fucking name, the fat chick.
Connie.
Connie. I forgot her last name. Connie. And then there was Then there was that nerdy kid.
The
AV club kid.
Larry.
Larry, the AV guy. Yeah. Okay. God, really, Larry the cable guy? Sorry, I just thought about that now. Larry the AV guy.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, there was an episode where Larry and Doug had to fight.
Had to fight, yeah.
And they, like...
Oh, I love that episode.
They, like, so we're going to do this on TV and do it in like, the radio of the mind. And it was a weird sort of thing where it was always sort of like, I'm going to punch you in the gut. And I'm gonna, you know, kick you in the balls. And, like, I'm going to, you know, choke your neck. And I remember, who was commentating on that was
Skeeter,
and he was like doing all this sort of drum stuff. I remember that was bizarre. Like that was weird.
I loved that. That's one of my favorite episodes, you know?
See, my favorite Doug episode, I would have to be, I guess it'd have to be the one where Judy learned to drive.
Yes.
Like that one might be my favorite if only for the fact that as a kid, I so wanted to go to that bumper place. Like, do you remember that thing? Like, I don't know how that existed. Because it was like three floors of like bumper heaven, and there wasn't like any stairs. There weren't like anything. Like, yeah. Like, do you think that was like all those floors were active at once, or like they had like ramps that went down?
I have no idea.
Well, come on, theorize. Let's theorize. That thing existed. Now, let's say someone were to open up the triple story bumper car arena.
Wow.
Because that's what it was. Like, there was nothing else in that fucking thing.
You know, I would, if I were designing it, you know, I would perhaps naively just make the whole thing, you know, three stories that connect to one another, you know, with ramps and the whole enormous maze.
Because I remember seeing that as a kid going, wow, that looks fun, but never really kind of grasping the fact that either that was my favorite episode or the one where Doug thought he was fat.
Oh, that.
Because there's a very funny, there's a very scene in my head that I think about. And it's hilarious because it's like you see him standing on the board. They're all looking at him, thin as hell. Like I'm fat, and he was like, you're kind of thin. Like it was you're thin. And then he pulled the shirt off, and instantaneously he become the blob.
Yeah.
And like he jump in the pool and then fill it up with flesh. I was like, how the no.
And the worst part of it all, that was bad enough. But the worst part of it was, you know, a Patty, the girl he likes. Doug, you've ruined everything.
Yeah, of course, because that was always a thing. Was that Patty Mayonnaise had to be that, or the best one where he'd always be winning.
Yeah.
God, I'm Mr. Lucky, but that was a Rock Goes My Life joke. Did you ever see that episode of Rock Goes My Life with the Mega Spin?
Yes, I know.
Sorry to derail it.
No. All I'm saying is there was also a Doug episode.
Yeah, there was a Doug episode where he was always lucky and Patty would lose, and eventually he became unlucky somehow.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking now of the Filbert episode now of Rock Goes My Life where it was a Mega Spin, because do you remember the fortune cookie he opened?
Was that the
No, that was a finger trap.
That's
finger
trap.
No, because this is the part, like everyone opened a fortune cookie, like, you will have this, you will have this. Yeah. Filbert opens the fortune cookie that I really truly wish exists. I really wish this fortune cookie exists in life, because if you haven't noticed, like, now in fortune cookies, it was actually fun. I just got back from P.F. Chang's, and we actually have fortune cookies, and I was literally going on the table, my brother, my parents, and I was going, okay, Marco, my brother, you will have a proverb, point to my dad, fortune. No, I went proverb to my dad, proverb to my mom, fortune, and me proverb. And I opened it up. Mine was a proverb. My brother opened up. His was a proverb. My dad opened up. His was a fortune, and my mom opened up hers, and it was a proverb. So I had the right ratio, but just the wrong people. But the thing is, like there's never been like the bad luck fortune cookie that Filbert opened up. I remember Filbert's fortune cookie he opened up was bad luck will infest your pathetic soul for all eternity, or something along those lines. And it was I was like, that is the best fortune cookie. I was like, why doesn't that exist in real life?
Was it a black fortune
cookie? No, it was a regular fortune cookie that just had the bad luck will infest your pathetic soul for all eternity, or something like that along those lines. I remember it was like, wow. That is so – I remember that episode was so awesome because he kept opening up fortune cookies. Same thing. And I was like, God, why doesn't that exist in the real world? Like, why isn't there a bad luck fortune cookie? Like, it's always got to be like, good luck, or like proverb and happy and like, you know, here's your Chinese word for the day. You know, like, you know, lucky numbers are 2, 4 and, you know, jihao. Oh, sorry. I read the word by accident. Sorry. I'm just starting to show – I don't even know if that's a real Chinese word, to be honest. I don't.
That's a horrible insult.
It probably is. I apologize to all my Mandarin audience, which is none probably. But anyways, back to Nickelodeon, and since we started talking about Doug and animation and whatnot, and started talking about stuff. Do you remember the show Roundhouse?
Wow, that's deep in the recesses of my brain. I do, but I was very young and I barely.
Why the hell did that exist on Nickelodeon? Because literally that was like a very artsy show.
Yeah.
Like, do you realize what it was? Like, it was basically a bunch of guys doing sketch. Like it's the kind of stuff that makes sense in a college kind of setting. Because like it's the kind of stuff that you go to like your local like, you know, theater and see these guys who are doing improv and sketch comedy, which great.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell it was on Nickelodeon for. Because like I'd watched it, I was kind of intrigued as a kid.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really entertained, and it was a bizarrely terrible. I remember they was always busting some like weird R&B song that they sung.
Yeah, I
some
remember
weird
they broke
R&B
out into
note.
Dance or something.
Like always a cappella, which was kind of cool. But I remember it was a weird show. And I'm thinking about it because we're talking about SNCC and everything else.
Yeah.
That was on there along with, of course, what else was on SNCC? Was that Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Well, Ren and Stimpy was on SNCC,
SNCC as well,
time.
And then Roundhouse, of course, yeah. And then of course the ever popular All That. All That with
I remember when that came out, when they said a new show.
Is all
exactly.
That. This is all. Let's see who got their start and All That. Amanda Bynes did. Amanda Bynes got her start on there. That she's obviously still doing shit. What's her face? Kenan, what's Kenan's last name?
Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson.
He's on Saturday Night Live now.
At least I think he is.
He's still there.
Okay. That is Kel. What's Kel's last name? I don't remember.
Kel Mitchell.
Kel Mitchell. Okay. Yeah. He got to start there.
Well, and then they got their own little spin-off show.
Then they got their Kenan and Kel.
Very good show.
Let's see. All right. Trivia question. Who sang the theme song for the Kenan and Kel show?
Oh, it's some famous rapper. Well, that's
Coolio.
Coolio.
Yeah. That was when Coolio was big because I guess that's Coolio's career really.
Because
God, that was a weird career if you think about it. Like the motherfucker comes out with Gangster's Paradise, one of the hardest, you know, fucking grittiest kind of rap songs back in the 90s, and then he starts singing the theme song for Kenan and Kel. That's so bizarre, isn't it? Anyway, so yeah, that was one of the SNCC shows. Was all that?
Yeah, and Kenan and Kel was also there. Yeah.
But let's see who didn't go on from that and become anything. Like Lori Beth Denberg didn't do anything.
I don't think she did anything with her show.
Like that was her. That was like I'm here, which is funny because Lori Beth probably could have been really good in like other shows.
Yeah, I can see.
Well,
that.
Like she probably was like one of those characters. Like, man, I wish she kind of went on and did something else. Lori Beth Denberg. What was that? No, actually, I take it back. One of the other characters also got a spinoff show. I don't remember if it was Josh or both of those were on. I take it back. Those two were got a spinoff because of the Amanda Bynes show. What was it called? The Amanda Show.
The Amanda Show, yeah.
Which had Drake and Josh on there.
Drake and Josh. Oh yeah.
And then they spun off and do their own real show.
Yeah. I knew of Drake and Josh, but I didn't.
They were both on. I think they're either on the Amanda Bynes show or they're on All That. I can't remember, but I remember that they got spun off from one of those shows.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre and strange, for sure. But yeah, let's go back to, I guess, back to one thing. I know you mentioned, so you said it was Ren and Stimpy, it was Doug, and Are You Afraid of the Dark. Was there a fourth show that you loved?
A fourth show that I loved of Nickelodeon. Now, let's see.
Because I'll tell you my top three in a second. We've already gone through my animation side of things already, but I'll tell you my top live action show. And I have a DVD of it, of course, that being The Adventures of Pete and Pete, which was yet and again another weirdly bizarre show.
Yeah, but I liked that show. I liked that show a lot.
Oh, I love that show. And I've later learned why I love that show. Again, it's much like I love Animaniacs. It had a lot of those weird things that you watch now and you go, wow, that kind of bizarrely holds up. Like, do you realize that they were using, like, 8-tracks to listen to music on?
I never picked that.
Like, there's an episode, but that's my favorite episode. I think it's in season 3 or season 2, where – I think it's in season 3, where my brother and I have always said that, like, when our kids were growing up, like, we're going to do this too. And we always remember this episode. I remember vividly the audio file go – like, this starts off with younger Pete saying – it was basically Pete's parents left the house and left for vacation and left the house in their control. Yeah. You know, because they're older at the point. They're wiser and whatnot. And then little Pete goes, comes in, like the whole house seems like, smells weird. Is this because we're only here alone? And he goes, now, like he goes, I'm scared. Like there's a scene in the episode. They go, now begins the eight. I think it's after they play the music, but they go, they put this A-track in there. And it's labeled, which is a great joke. I would later learn. It's labeled, the band's name was Krebs Zeppelin.
Everything was
Kreb because exactly, like the Kreb star player, but there was always spoofs on like real things.
Yeah.
Like I forgot what the fucking bikes were, but I remember there was a joke at one point that I would never remember. I always remember the insult that Artie at one point used as a kid. One of the bullies, he said, "I bet you ride a Schwinn rider." I will always have that in my head for no apparent reason. The Schwinn rider as an insult. There's plenty of other ones, but we'll get to Artie in a second. Yeah. But anyways, they put the tape in. And actually, what plays? I learned the band's name was Chug, and the song was named Flower, I think. Because actually, there's a lot of indie music in that episode. I remember that Pete's like, "This is gonna be great." They're getting blown back. But remember that the young Pete before that said like, "Now begins the age of Pete," and I always remember that line like this was the era of us, and this is where we will rule like Ozymandias and shit like that. It was hilarious. But getting back to Pete and Pete in general, since I already brought it up, we have to talk about Artie. We really have to talk about Artie.
I mean. I was thinking about what you were talking. Like, what did I love so much about Pete and Pete is that it was down to earth, it was realistic, except for a few parts that somehow seemed actually conceivable.
Well, like Mr. Tasty.
Mr. Tasty.
Like Mr. Tasty was bizarre.
The ice cream guy.
Yes. Yeah. With like a ice cream, like you never saw his head. Like you just saw like this, like I'm Mr. Tasty with a giant ice cream cone head.
Exactly.
Like that was bizarre. But they worshipped him like a god.
Exactly. Exactly. And like this, it's a little bit out there, but it could actually happen.
No, of course.
And Artie, you know, he wasn't. He's the strongest man in the world. You know,
No. He's the strongest man. In the world.
Of course, he'd strike the pose. You know?
Exactly.
But that wasn't completely outlandish, you know?
No. And actually, I learned later on through commentary that guy actually they found that when they met the actor to actually play that, he was actually this like very much like a one man show kind of almost theater person, and apparently like he had like a character that was really depressing.
Really?
And I was like a best businessman. Apparently, it's really awesome. I was like, I learned this in commentary. This guy's actually a really fucking good actor and really good like theater person. I would love to see it too, but yeah, it was interesting, and it was cool hearing him talk about it and like how he had his Artie character at one point, and then the creators somehow saw him and like hired him, and I was like, wow, that's bizarrely awesome, because that show, like the creators of that, like they did some strange things, like they once again they also had their own references too, like did you ever see the episode Sick Day?
Yes.
You know what the point where at the very beginning, I think it's it had to be Little Pete. And he goes, sick day, and drops a glass globe. That's actually a reference to a really classic movie, Citizen Kane, which I didn't know at the time as a kid. I was just like, this is weird. And I later learned that's a Citizen Kane reference, going, wow. I mean, if you think about it, that show had some like weird cats to be on there. Like Iggy Pop was on there. He was I forgot whose father it was, or what's that actor's name? He was Ellen's father. Oh God, it's gonna come to me. He was also in The Rock, and he was the weird perverted kid in the word, you know, The Rock, the movie. He was that weird that perverted inmate, surprising that the child rapist one. I forgot the actor's name, but it'll come to me. He was on there. Like they got a lot of strange talent on that show. Minus of course the two, minus Danny Trachtenberg and whoever else was. I forgot the older Pete's the actor's name. Do you remember the actor's name for older Pete?
No, I don't.
I don't remember either. I forgot the name for Ellen as well. But that was such a bizarre thing. Do you remember the shorts for that show?
The shorts? I remember a few of them.
But you remember the existence of them, at least. Because that's how it started. It was like these weird shorts. Then it came to like a summer special. And then somehow that spun into a series. And I don't know how. I don't know why that like spun out into a series. That was the era of, you know, Hey Dude and Salute Your Shorts, which are two shows that really feel like they're in the 90s, you know? Like,
yeah, those are 90s shows through and through.
Through and through. Great shows. But then I'm watching this, like, I mean, there's a great scene in the episode of I Am a Dot where the song to attract Artie was Love Roller Coaster by the Bay City Rollers, which I didn't know what that song was until later on in life. I was like, Roller Coaster of love, and I remember there's a scene where he says a line. I remember like he's like large in charge, George Clinton, like a very famous like, you know, kind of funk guy, and it's so weird that I'm watching it now, like going, wow, I don't remember this. I would never have gotten this as a kid, like what that meant, that the Bay City Roller, like why would that be the song that attracts Artie? Why would that be like, you know, even in a kid show? Because no kid knows what, you know, Bay City Rollers were or anything like that, you know, anything like that. But I remember it was such a bizarre, bizarre, bizarre show, and definitely, it was definitely a unique show. And I think on that note, it's definitely a good time to end our discussion on random night shows. Any lasting thoughts that you want to say that any show that you know for a fact has influenced you to this day?
Any show that I know for a fact has influenced.
Like for me, Pete and Pete has influenced me to this day, and influenced my zany character for sure. That, you know, that and a lot of stuff with Nickelodeon, but for sure, Pete and Pete has influenced me more than I'd like to admit. Is there any show that you know that, oh, that show for sure has made me has made me as messed up as I think I am?
Messed up as I think. Well, if you say messed up, that's hands down Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy. Okay, fair enough. So for me, Pete and Pete. For you, Ren and Stimpy. All right, well, that's our show for today. thanks for joining me, Vito. Is there anything you want to plug while you're here? Anything you want to plug your Twitter account, see if anyone follows you?
Sure. Twitter.com, Hikarashi, Hikarashii. Sorry for the long name, but...
There you go. Hikarashi, if you want to follow this guy, if you like this guy's character, at reply him, feel free to follow him. Obviously, I'm VincentForcer4 on Twitter, so I won't plug mine because I'm people know who I am at this point. Well, that's our show for today. Tune in next time when I have another randomly geeky person. Later.